Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. So we are going to take a little bit of a break from talking about the never-ending topic of the commission-sharing lawsuit and all the scripts and presentations and the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to be focusing on today is motivation. So specifically, how to be fueled by motivation and forged by discipline. So Julie, when you came up with this as a topic, why were you motivated to pivot away from the normal fare and focus more on something that's a mindset point?
Well, we have been working really hard with these guys on upgrading their skills and some scripting and objection handling and facts versus fiction and all of these things, which is a bit of a mental heavy lift, all in the midst of trying to do their transactions.
Right.
And it occurred to me that, you know, you can have all of that polished up, and certainly our coaching clients report that they're feeling very confident about moving forward in this market. But if your mindset does not coincide with your upgraded skills, well, the skills don't really matter. You've got to be strong mentally, emotionally, certainly even physically, in order to not just survive the changes in the market, but to thrive and to really get to your goals and meet or achieve those goals. So that's why we circle back to mindset.
So I'm doing a series of interviews for our new newsletter called HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. And if you've not subscribed to it, please do so. That's where all of our show notes, including today's show notes, that's where they're going to live from now on. And also, we're creating a lot of exclusive content for the newsletter. So the subscription for HarrisRealEstateDaily.com is free. So just go to HarrisRealEstateDaily.com and subscribe, or just click the link below. All you've got to do is put in your email address. You'll receive an email asking if you indeed want the subscription. You have to click that link, and if you don't, you won't be getting the newsletter. Well, one of the things that we're including are a lot of exclusive interviews, not just with real estate top producers, but people we feel you should be hearing from. And, you know, two of the interviews I did on Friday, both of them said the same thing. And when I was asking them about what they're doing to control their mindset during this sort of never-ending storm of drama, right, just constantly right? surrounding everyone. They both said the same thing, to which made me very proud of them, is they said they're practicing what we've been preaching forever, which is going completely media free. So before Julie gets to her first point, I'm going to suggest to all of you that you do take on this exercise. So I'm giving you your homework ahead of time. Completely purge all forms of media, with the exception of this podcast, of course. Mm-hmm. But seriously, go media free, because the media nowadays is about as worse as I remember it in my lifetime. And a lot of it's because it's an election year. And a lot of it's because of obviously all the misinformation that we did a podcast about this on 2 days ago with regards to the commission sharing lawsuit. Everybody and their brother has an opinion. Usually they're completely unfounded and completely wrong about what they're saying, all the way down from the president to, you know, local politicians, and everybody else has sort of, you know, pontificating about the commission sharing lawsuit, saying the absolute wrong things. It is overwhelming and emotionally depleting. And now you're going to have to deal with it coming from your buyers and your sellers. And Monday we talked to you about the different things you can be saying at the scripts and objection handlers. But really, at the end of the day, you need to be protecting yourself. Julie and I are about to get on a plane and travel back from our cabin in North Carolina to back home to Puerto Rico. And when you're sitting in the, you know, let's pretend you're sitting next to us in the plane, and you know, you're going through the usual preamble about, like, you know, safety precautions and, you know, where the life rafts are and all that other good stuff.
The script.
Right. It's a script. But one of the things they always say is, the event that there's a loss of cabin air pressure, the mask will fall down. You guys have all heard this before. And you're always supposed to put your own mask on first, right? So you got to be remembering that. In a market where, in an industry where we have a tendency to take after other people, we forget to take after ourselves. And if you combine that with a bunch of negative media that's coming at you from all angles, not only are you not putting your own mask on first, but you're burning the candle at both ends, and you're going to be exhausted before your mm-hmm. year even has an opportunity to start. So I'm going to suggest this to all of you. If you're feeling overwhelmed, and maybe you don't even know you're feeling overwhelmed, you've just normalized that feeling, try on going completely media free. Literally purge all media. Do it for a day, do it for a week, do it for a month. Now, when you go through that process, what you're going to experience is withdrawal from the media. You're actually going to start having these little, you know, bouts of paranoia that somehow you're missing something. You know,
you're not.
Yeah, you're not. You're not missing anything other than the rebuilding of your mindset. So as Julie goes through these points today, I want you to, you know, begin with the end in mind. And the end really is for you to allow yourself to rebuild from the inside out, put your own mask on first, and absolutely positively go media free. Do subscribe to our podcast, our newsletter, rather, by going to harrisrealestatedaily.com. Do that absolutely. We're going to be doing a lot of reinforcement of your mindset with the information that you need to be not just surviving this market, but thriving because of this market. So, Julie?
Yes, thank you for that intro. So we're talking about how to be fueled by motivation and forged by discipline. Some questions to start chewing on as we get towards our first point. First one is, do you have to be motivated to be disciplined? Think about that. Maybe write down your answer. Do you have to have passion to take action? I don't know. Maybe it depends on the day for you. Well, Napoleon Hill said, self-discipline starts with the mastery of your thoughts, to your point about being media free. If you don't control what you think, you can't control what you do.
Are you going to address those two questions in your outline?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yep. So, and I like what Napoleon said, if you don't control what you think, you can't control what you do. We're talking about finding your motivation. On today's podcast, we're going to examine what it takes to fuel your motivation by embracing it, even on the days or weeks when you don't feel like it. Not that ever happens.
Right. If this sounds a lot like what Julie and I say a billion times on our podcast, and by the way, we say it to each other all the time too, if you want ever increasing levels of success in your business and personal life, do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. If you find on some days that it's a hell of a lot harder to do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it on the highest level, it's probably because you need to, you know, follow the first suggestion we gave you, which is going media free. Because again, you're burning it at both ends and you're using all the energy that you should be using to be of service to others and build your business and take care of your friends and your family and your loved ones and the rest of it. You're giving that energy away to all of the insidious stuff that's crept into, you know, all of our lives if we allow it to. So again, lean into the media-free aspect of life. All right, Julie, point number one.
Point number one, consistency in uncertain or challenging times. Like, you know, right now, consistency in uncertain or challenging times. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments, says Jim Rohn. So write that down, find it in our notes. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. It's often said that what you do on your bad days matters more than what you do on your good days. This rings true in various aspects of life, from your workout to your lead generation. It's the tough days that make you better, but that assumes that you power through instead of giving up. So don't let your emotions determine your actions. There's an Irish proverb that says, there is no luck except where there is discipline. Make sense?
Well, that's going back to your two original questions, right? And let's talk about the passion thing, shall we?
Well, that's actually point number something later.
Okay.
But yes.
So guys, I got
it covered. Don't worry.
I'm so anxious for Julie to answer those questions.
That's good. I teed you up properly.
You did apparently. You did such a good job.
But wait, we'll get there in a second. All right. Point number two, nurturing relationships through adversity. While it's easy to invest in relationships during smooth sailing, the true test lies in effort put forth during rough patches. Now, let's look at that. It's easy to invest in relationships during smooth sailing, like, you know, back in 2022, where interest rates were free and everybody wanted to buy and sell, and all you had to do is find something to sell them, right? But the true test lies in the effort put forth during rough patches where you have to upgrade your skills and your practices are changing. Strengthening bonds and offering support during challenging times can deepen connections and foster resilience. For example, are you avoiding real estate conversations because you fear getting questions you can't answer? Or are you forging ahead with confidence? How many conversations about real estate are you having daily? And maybe those stopped temporarily while you had your freak out over what we've been talking about and the changes in the market. But it's what you do during tough times that really solidify those relationships. Point number three, emotional resilience in the face of adversity. Keeping emotions in check is relatively simple when everything's going well. Yet the true mark of emotional maturity is demonstrated in how you manage your feelings when circumstances are less favorable, showcasing our ability to adapt and persevere.
It is worth mentioning on that point. That's a really good point, Julie. Beautifully written. Is that if your results are dependent solely on your feelings,
yeah,
that was what you were trying to say.
Or market conditions or a combination of both.
Right. But the feelings thing, I mean, your feelings change so frequently. It goes to the passion thing. But ultimately, if your output is dependent solely on how you feel, opposed to just the discipline of doing the activity, you're never going to accomplish anything because your emotional state changes constantly with your, you know, physical state. You're, you know, maybe you're hungry.
By the minute.
By the millisecond, probably. Mm-hmm. So you can't meet your results in life if they're dependent on how you feel. You're going to find if you ever move the ball down the field, you're going to be moving it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Well, for example, if I ever made our kettlebell workout dependent on feeling like it, probably I would never do it. Instead, I rely on the discipline part of it. So yes, I think you hit the nail on the head with that. Point number four, persistence in proactive lead generation. Of course, I had to sneak lead generation in there somewhere. To achieve the everlasting success you desire, you must learn to do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. Only then will you one day be able to do what you do want to do when you want to do it at that highest level. I'm quoting you there. This profound insight underscores the importance of persistence and dedication in pursuing long-term success. Despite facing challenges or tasks that might seem undesirable, maintaining a high level of effort and commitment is essential. It's through consistent perseverance and excellence in all endeavors that true mastery and fulfillment are achieved. Notice how that is pretty emotion-free. It's all about taking the action. And then number five, one of my favorite points I use with coaching clients all the time, the accumulation effect, your friend or foe, depending on you. The accumulation effect is a powerful force that can either work in our favor or against us. Consistency over time yields significant results, while inconsistency leads to stagnation or even regression. Understanding that the accumulation effect hinges on our actions empowers us to harness time as an ally in our pursuit of success, ensuring that our persistent efforts yield meaningful outcomes. And Maya Angelou once said, one of my favorite quotes, nothing will work unless you do.
But you know, it's interesting. We did a podcast 2 weeks ago on compounding interest, of all things.
Similar thought, right?
Well, it's the same, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Zoe's 10 years old. And Julie and I started a savings account for Zoe. And we put X amount of dollars into it. And we tried to explain that, you know, the money is going to compound every 7 or 8 years, and by the time she's mom and dad's age or twice as old as we are, this is how much money it'll be, you know, obviously over the head of a 10-year-old.
Right.
But we're planting the seeds so she can start understanding you know, what compounding interest is. Well, the accumulation effect works in the same way, but also works in the opposite. So unlike finances, it could work in as relates to debt, but with the accumulation effect, Julie was just talking about kettlebells, which we have yet to do today, which neither one of us wants to do it. You can tell we're trying to psych ourselves into doing it. We're going to do it even if we don't feel like doing it, but yeah. Clearly we don't anyway. We definitely
just not
don't,
right now.
We definitely don't want to do it today, yeah. But we're going to.
Yeah.
So if you, for example, the accumulation effect, you guys understand compounding interest, the accumulation effect works with the building of your skills. The accumulation effect works with, you know, over time, as long as you're persistent and you are not expecting overnight results, you will find yourself one day not only being financially free, but emotionally in a different, you'll actually have developed wisdom opposed to just being smart. You'll have actually developed real relationships opposed to just having a bunch of surface relationships. All that stuff takes time. But it also works against you. So if you, for example, are not working out, not taking care of your health, and you're doing what, I forget the exact number, so I'll make it up, but the average person by the time they reach 40 years old gains like a certain amount of weight every year.
Yeah, it's not, like 2 or 3 pounds a year for the first couple of years, and then it's like 5 to 10 pounds a year for every year after
that. Well, compounds. And so that basically over time, not only are you getting older, not only is it harder to lose the weight, but the weight also is having a massively detrimental effect on your overall body. And so that's the accumulation effect, in this case,
in a
fat.
Bad,
exactly. But that's the accumulation effect as it relates to negative accumulation, right? And so you could do it with debt. You could do it with not building relationships.
How about lead generation? You know, you guys get on a roll sometimes because you're, you know, knocking out your listings and you're getting your buyers in contract. And then what happens? They're all pending at the same time and you suddenly realize that's great for this month and all the closings next month. But if you don't take action on your proactive lead generation
every day,
then you're going to wind up with that third month out there after everything closes. Oh my gosh, where are all my deals? And then you have a dry month. Why was it? Because you ignored the accumulation effect.
Right. So understand the power of the accumulation effect and have it work for you. Let me just give you some, the challenges of the accumulation effect is everything. The hardest, how do I say this? Most everything worth having takes a hell of a lot longer than you think it should. And that means, you believe that there's such thing as overnight success. You believe the Instagram, everyone looks like that on Instagram. You're forgetting the fact that people use filters for everything, all these types of things, right? You don't give yourself the time to actually have the accumulation effect work for you, and you give up too soon. And that giving up too soon is reinforced by everything in society.
I'll give you a great example. Coaching client Tammy Irby, okay? She's in Northern Virginia. She did this campaign. I'm going to highlight this on an upcoming podcast when we talk about dropping off things of value and door knocking and pop buys and all that. But she was doing these great CMA offers, right? So she has a nice presentation that she leaves. She actually has somebody doing this for her very consistently. She did this for virtually every day in January. A little market report, an offer to do a free market analysis, a light CMA, you know, of the mark of the overall. And it seemed like nothing was going to happen because it was January. Do we have any appointments from this? Nope. Next coaching call. No appointments from this. What's going on? When is this going to hit? Last coaching call last week, she's got like three or four listing appointments set up. She's already taken one listing and sold it to her own buyer off of this. It's because she didn't give up. She didn't just go out there and give five of them away. She had a consistent program of X number she was going to get out in a specific neighborhood that she'd been prospecting quite a bit. She didn't give up, did it the entire month of January, and now it's hitting. Had she given up because she didn't get immediate results, like most people do, not just in real estate, but in life, you didn't get instant gratification, she wouldn't have any of those listing appointments this week.
Remember, what you're experiencing right now, the house you're living in, the food you're eating, the clothes you're wearing, the thoughts you're having, the money in your bank, all of these types of things, the health you're enjoying, the relationships that you have, those are a result of decisions that the past version of you made. And maybe you made these decisions years ago. Right? Maybe these, you know, you've essentially building positive momentum, accumulating positive things and accumulating negative, whatever. What you've got to realize is you right now, your exact state on this planet at this exact moment is the result of the accumulation effect based on past decisions that you've made. And so if there are aspects of your life that you don't like, you can change that. So one of the little, Julie and I do this just when we're going on our walks. And we always gut check ourselves. So 12 months from now, what are the three things you want to be most proud of having accomplished? And then you always start out with these sort of wimpy answers, and then you got to force yourself to drill down to really get to the essence of it. Well, I want to increase my net worth by this amount. Well, I wanted to have actually traveled to this place and this place. Well, don't say things like, well, I want to read some books, or don't say I want to travel more.
I want to eat more healthy.
Right. You have to actually go to what Julie's point number six is.
All right, so adaptability and goal setting. If what you're doing isn't working, change what you're doing versus lowering your goal. In the face of obstacles, it's essential to remain flexible and adaptable. Rather than compromising your aspirations, consider adjusting your approach or strategy to better align with your objectives. Maintaining high standards while being open to innovation and change can lead to breakthroughs and new opportunities for success. This is one of those things that does come out, especially in elite coaching, when agents keep on banging their heads into the wall saying, you know what, this used to work, or I feel like I've been working, but I'm not getting results. Okay, so sometimes agents will be tempted to lower their goals and they'll blame the actions. Well, I guess it's just going to be an off year in real estate.
Or they'll question themselves.
Maybe I've lost my edge. I'm in a rut, whatever. So I encourage you to not let go of the goal. Don't reduce the goal. Just change the strategy.
Reality. Almost anything that you were doing for the sake of lead generation or branding or marketing looked like it was working in the old market because the old market had enough buoyancy. All the ships were rising. So you could do a marketing and branding campaign. You could do all these different things. A lot of agents were blowing a lot, millions, billions probably of dollars on. You could have been doing a lot of these things, and it wasn't until this market where you realize those things were complete waste of time. They were a waste of time before in the better market. You just didn't realize it.
Right, because it looked like that's what was causing the success.
Right, and sometimes it's even confusing because you get your signals crossed, right? So you'll say, well, so-and-so contacted me through Facebook. Julie and I give this example because we hear this constantly from people. I get all my leads from Facebook. Okay, well, let's break that down. What does that mean? Well, Bob and Sally just closed their house and they messaged me through Facebook. I totally believe you. But can we ask why else Bob and Sally contacted you? Was it really from Facebook? Or were they just using Facebook as a way of messaging you because that was the easiest way for them to find you. Because when they searched your name, your Facebook page came up. And so they just messaged you through Facebook.
It's
you
just guys, a different form of a phone book, right?
Exactly. You guys get it? So you're confusing things. Oh, I got all my leads from Instagram. Well, it's because it's easy to find you from Instagram. It's not so easy to leave a message because you never checked your damn voicemail.
Right. Instagram didn't send you the lead.
Right. So then you got to drill down. Okay. Well, I got this lead from Instagram. It must have been from all my amazing posts on Instagram. Well, ask Bob and Sally why else they called you. And then you're going to find out some interesting things. Well, you know, turns out you sold my neighbor's house or so-and-so suggested that I call you. You got to ask that secondary question because when you start doing that, you're going to actually get to the essence of the real sources of your business. And this is for the passive lead generation, I just said. Proactive lead generation, it's obviously, you know, it's clear you made that contact. You got that listing. But what we're suggesting, and really what Julie's trying to help you guys, give you permission to do, is stop doing what doesn't work. How do you know if something works or not? Here's a simple litmus test. Has that generated a closed transaction for you in the last 12 months? Oh, you think it has? Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. But let's go to the next level. The thing you're thinking about spending your money on, the branding, the marketing, the advertising, the buying of the lead, the whatever, what absolute locked-in guarantee is that it's going to generate a closed transaction for you in the next 90 days or less? Tim, what are you talking about? Nothing can do that. That's not true. You absolutely positively can be doing proactive lead generation that absolutely positively will generate a closed transaction with you in 90 days or less. That means that a lot of the things that you are doing that you thought did work actually aren't working, never did work, and you're spending your money on it. You should give yourself permission to stop doing it and not reinvest the money necessarily, but maybe you just want to save the money, pay off some debt, pay off that run-up credit card from that big branding company that you thought was going to somehow rain leads on you.
Change what you're doing, not changing your goals. And maybe you reinvest your time and your effort versus trying to find something else to attempt to throw the money at.
Invest if you're going to invest in something, invest in yourself, invest in your skills, become a proactive lead generator so you're never actually dependent. Really what the takeaway is, don't doubt yourself. Don't allow some like changing market to make you think that your best days are behind you. That's an enormous mistake. Don't just say, well, this is no longer working and it must just because I suck. A lot of you guys make that mistake on social. Like I started a YouTube channel and nobody watches my videos. I have a little secret for all of you. Most everyone that has a lot of video viewing on their YouTube channel, they're paying for the views. It's not real. It's fake. They're actually promoting their channel. Maybe they're putting their video channel. They're just doing different things. They're literally running ads for people to watch their videos, or they're essentially just, you know, having somebody run views and comments and whatnot. Point is don't compare yourself to other people, because probably what they're doing is essentially building up this mountain of, you know, Mickey Mouse that's not actually resulting
vanity
in any
matrix.
Vanity matrix, or even worse, the ego matrix, really. And sure. that isn't really, but you're comparing yourself to them. Well, you created the 10 best videos ever, but nobody's watching them. It's because that other person who's doing videos that are half the quality of yours, they're spending tons and tons of money, in a lot of cases, getting fake results to make it look like people are watching their content. To what end? No end. It doesn't generate any business for them.
I know. And if you interview those agents, assuming that they're transacting at all, where their deals came from, that it always goes back to either something proactive that they were doing, but more than likely it's past clients, friends and family, where they probably would have done those deals anyway.
Buying buyer leads.
Buyer leads, right.
Like if you go to a big YouTube real estate person and you see where they're, and they have a lot of, you know, subscribers, some of them have decent contact and real subscribers,
sure.
But there's ways you can go in there and you could look to see what their actual, you know, what the output is. And if you get to know them, if you look at their MLS stats, you're going to see they don't do very many deals. And if they are doing deals, they're doing a crap ton of buyer deals. And where those buyer deals coming from, they're going to say Instagram and Facebook. But what they're really doing is buying their buyer leads from some XYZ platform or several of them. Now, why are they doing all of that? Because they're confused about why they're in business. And I'm getting off Julie's points, but they're doing it because, like, if you have to choose between being famous and being rich, when you're in your 20s and in some cases in your 30s, you're going to say famous. Remember, you can't have both. Being famous or being rich. Being famous or being rich. As you get older, you're going to wish you would have chosen to be rich. But you can't be both in most cases, because most people are spending money to feel famous because they really, their egos really want that sense of recognition. You will outgrow that at some point and regret not focusing more on your skills, not regret not building a real business and actually building a real net worth.
Well, one thing lasts and the other one doesn't, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so our
point... I'm not done with my rant. Because okay. I'm on to something now.
Yes.
Because I wrote an outline. I don't know if you saw it. I haven't formalized it yet. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between branding and advertising?
You tell me. You wrote the outline.
Marketing, branding, and advertising. What's the difference? Well, everyone will say, you run an ad, you get a response. So you're going to run, you know, Bob's Lawn Service, you know, first spring cuts, $5. You could argue that's an ad. Okay. I'm going to argue that all forms of paid marketing, branding, and advertising is all advertising.
Okay.
And here's how you know. Because if you stop doing your branding, mm-hmm. if you stop doing your moving truck and your bus benches and your Facebook advertising and all of that, how long can you go and you just stop doing it? You've done it for years. You stop doing it. How long until essentially all those lead sources dry up? In other words, will you still get leads? You've been doing this direct mail campaign. You've been doing all this. You occasionally get a lead from it. How, if you completely stop spending money in that marketplace, if you truly had a brand, people would still call you. If you truly had a brand, you wouldn't have to advertise at all. Does Tesla advertise? No. Does Ferrari advertise? No. Does Apple advertise? No. Okay, so those are true brands. What you're doing is you're advertising. You know it because if you stopped advertising, you'd stop getting any leads whatsoever, even the looky-loos. Whereas if you had a brand, you wouldn't have to spend the money on actual advertising. That's the difference. You guys are being tricked and fooled into believing that you're building a brand with all this money you're spending. Why are you so susceptible to that? Because you're also being told that for you to have something in real estate, and this isn't true for all businesses, by the way, but in real estate, you will not last unless you have a brand. Your goal is to make yourself into a brand. Who's telling you that? I know who's telling you that. The people that are trying to sell you into believing that you have to build a brand. What they're really selling you is advertising. Because the real, what again, why are people seduced into believing that? Well, if I build a brand, the consumers will have this perception that I am successful. I will have somehow shortcut actually having to earn a reputation of being successful. I have made myself appear successful, and then people will want to do business with me. How do you know if that's true or not? Because it's not true. That's not true. The people that are doing the business, the people that truly have built any kind of name recognition or brand, are the agents that have been in the business for a long period of time and focused on really, frankly, transacting. They've not wasted a lot of time on advertising. They've not wasted a lot of time. Now, if you do a lot of advertising and you then create a lot of centers of influence and past clients as a result of that, you can stop the advertising and just work your centers of influence and past clients. But you're going to end up spending millions and millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars to get there. The best way to actually have a great long-term brand or reputation is to be a proactive lead generator, solve people's problems, have a really great net income so you then can reinvest that money and become wealthy. But please do not be seduced into believing that you can take shortcuts to building a great long-standing reputation. That is a lie. It always has been and always will be. Again, think all this through. The litmus test is, before you give your credit card number over to somebody who's going to work on your brand, you have to ask them, will this create a closed transaction within 90 days or less? If the answer is no, do not waste your money. Do not speculate that it's going to work. Instead, I got an idea for you. Why don't you call an expired listing? Why don't you call for sale by owner? Why don't you actually be a proactive lead generator, make money, help that person buy or sell real estate, and then from that, you're going to build a reputation and you're going to make a hell of a lot more money. You guys understand the difference?
I have a coaching client who called 3 past clients because we had a conversation that went similar to how you just teed that up. Maybe we ought to be more proactive and do something that's not going to cost you a referral fee, not going to cost you what I call a speculation fee, you know, spend the money and see whether something will happen. 3. The first call she made, they said, yes, I do want to buy 1 or 2 more properties in the area that she services. 1 call, 2 potential transactions, proactive, not speculative. And what happens when, and anybody listening, even if you just got your license, you still have your database. It could still be calling 3 of your friends, 5 of your friends, 5 of your friends per day. All of you can do this. And when you do get a result like that, like, oh my gosh, I ought to do this more. Maybe I ought to do this every day. What would happen if I did do this every day? And by the way, we have podcasts about that.
If you're an agent who's only been in the industry since, you know, advertising, marketing and branding and advertising has been essentially the focus, right? And you've had that beaten into you. you, what I am saying, absolute blasphemy to you. You cannot believe someone's actually saying what I just said. Ask yourself what happens if you completely stop it. You're completely screwed, aren't you? You're at 100% out of business. What if you no longer could? Well, okay, here's another, you know, what if all of a sudden you couldn't buy leads anymore? No more lead buying, no more marketing and advertising. What happened to your business? Poof, gone. Now, what if you're a proactive lead generator? What if you actually know how to create your own business? You actually know how to control your own reality, and some law passes that you're not allowed to buy business, or all these other, you know, undulations happen in the world as they always have and always will. You don't care because you're a proactive lead generator. You actually have earned the right to not have to be dependent on other people. In other words, you built your mansion on land you own. So you end up with the land and you end up with the mansion. Whereas if you have been building your business based on marketing, advertising, and branding and buying leads, and any of those variables change, you are immediately in retreat. You guys understand? How do we know this? How are we so 100% resolute in our perspectives? It's because we've coached agents. Julie and I have done hundreds of thousands of coaching calls. We've coached agents that are marketing and branding based. We've coached agents that are proactive lead generation based. The truth is the best combination is being a proactive lead generator and enhancing it with passive lead generation, which is marketing branding. But if you find yourself only in one camp, be in the proactive lead generation camp because you control your destiny. If you're in the buying your business camp, you know that a market like this is absolutely positively making the point that that is a path that you need to reconsider and start pivoting back being towards a proactive lead generator. The challenges that are happening in the industry because of AI, because of the, you know, different changes in the laws and the regulations and the, all the things, are going to make the passive lead generators under more stress. You think the cost of bot leads is going to go up or down, guys? What do you think? Right? Do you think AI is going to make agents more competitive or less competitive? You know, if you're just a transactional agent who's been buying all of your leads and doing all your marketing and branding and doing all your YouTube videos and all your social media, and all of a sudden every agent is doing the same thing because of AI, what's going to happen to your business? What's going to happen to your future? Are you understanding where we're coming from? It involves basically doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest levels for long damn periods of time.
With a lather, rinse, repeat.
Exactly. Right? And by the way, it never ends.
Yes. Well, that was all point 6.5 subsection C with addendum A, but all very relevant and related back to your mindset.
Now, I have a question for you, Julie. Question number seven. Do you have to have passion to be successful and to get into action?
Well, there are many things about running a successful real estate practice that are passionless, if you haven't figured that out yet. Picking up the phone when you don't feel like it, negotiating a home inspection, saving a deal, talking to stressed out clients. No wonder you don't feel passionate all the time about everything in real estate. Well, that's normal. We used to feel that way too. Remember, we actually sold real estate. What separates the successful and strong agents from the weak and frustrated is that successful agents find passion in the results of their work rather than trying to find passion in the work itself.
That is so incredibly important, because if you believe you can only be successful when you feel passion, all these lies that have been just sort of institutionalized into society. If you want to be successful, find your passion. Bullshit. Okay. Because the fact is that even if you start out by being a passionate, like you, let's say for example, you're a passionate basket weaver. Okay. That's what you're passionate about. And people, you know, the other great lie, do what you're passionate about, the money will follow. Oh, really? Okay. If you do what you're passionate about, the money will follow, but not a lot of it in the case of, for example, a basket weaver or a lot of the other things all of us are passionate about. Mm-hmm. Do your hobby and make it your business. And because you're passionate about it, somehow the universe will align behind you. Here's a little woo-woo for all of you. Universe will align behind you. And all of a sudden, the stars are going to sprinkle dollar signs in your wallet, right? All the rest of it. It's not true. It's a lie. It's always been a lie. Because the fact is if you start out by just following your passion, as soon as you have to start doing whatever your passion is for a living, you're no longer going to be passionate about it because now you actually have to do it. Julie will give her a great example for when she was a professional musician.
5,000% true. And I wish I would have seen this earlier. I love music. I love to play piano. I played flute. I played semi-professionally. I love that. I love everything about it. Practicing, being in rehearsal, you know, experiencing the concerts. Love that. Passionate for that. And yes, have been paid for that. However, I had experiences when I was starting to get into like the really good amateur semi-professional where I was playing with people whose job it was to do what I was passionate about.
They were professional orchestra players and they were also playing in the intermediate ranks that you were playing in because they actually did it because they needed the money.
Right. And they had great gigs. They were doing soundtracks. They were doing all kinds of paid concerts and subscription series and the whole night, kind of like what I thought I wanted to do at one point. But to hear them talk about the grind of having to do the work that it took to get paid any even reasonable amount of money, it kind of jaded them. They were pissed at the things that they had to do, at the schedule, at having, here's an idea. You might love music all you want to, but there are some times where you have to play things that you don't like, right? It's not all a bowl full of cherries, right? But I was astonished by the level of, I guess I would say, egregiousness and them being jaded at some point because they had made their passion into their job versus I felt a lot of appreciation and autonomy because I wasn't a contract musician and I could just pick and choose what I wanted to play. Meanwhile, doing something that maybe I had less passionate for, selling real estate, coaching, et cetera, but I got a lot better fulfillment out of that. Maybe because it wasn't something that I felt I had to have passion all the time about.
You did. Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. But that's ultimately...
That's the irony in it.
That's the irony of it. But it's also, like, if you believe you have to be passionate in order to be successful, the very reason that you haven't been successful at the level you could have very well been is because you're trying to chase a passion. Because as soon as that passion wanes, which it always does, that's called life, that's going to be your very excuse to no longer actually take the action. Because as Julie said, in real estate, I'll tell you right now, I was not passionate about selling real estate at all. I was passionate about going on listing appointments. I wasn't even really passionate about going on listing appointments. Going on listing appointments was the only thing that I enjoyed, let's say.
It was fun. And also the ability to help people reach their goals.
Right. But that's not something I was passionate about. Right. That was just what I had to do to be successful.
Exactly.
Right. So it's a difference. Now, where I was passionate were the things that happened as a result of the earning the money, mm-hmm. the freedom that came from it, the places Julie and I could travel, the experiences we could have. So the work, the doing what I didn't want to do, what I didn't want to do at the highest level, fueled really what I wanted to do with my life. And what, you know, Julie said this earlier, over time, if you do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do at the highest level for long periods of time, what's going to then happen is it's going to pivot to the point where you can do what you want to do when you want to do it, at really whatever level you choose to do it at.
Very passionately, by the way.
Very passionately, yeah. If you choose to do that. Like, I'm getting into racing simulator right now.
Yeah, it's
you know,
very
things
cool.
Like that, and I'm really enjoying it. But the moral of the story is be really clear. You do not have to be passionate about something to be incredibly successful at it. And if your pursuit is always to, I can't do it. Like, this is what you'll hear people say this. Well, I used to be passionate about real estate, but I just don't feel it anymore. Now I'm going to go on to something else. I'm going to, you know, become a, you know, Orange Theory instructor, and I'll be passionate about that until one day I'm not. And then you're going to be a dog walker and all these things,
right?
Yeah,
it's not sustainable to be like that.
Become the best version of yourself as a real estate professional. Do not worry whether you feel passionate about it. The fact is that eventually it's going to become habitual. You're just going to do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it on autopilot. And if you do it for a long period of time, you will have a brand because of the fact you will have the reputation because of the fact you've helped enough other people accomplish their goals. That's when you're truly a professional. And by the way, at that point, you're going to be making, you know, in many cases, millions and millions of dollars.
Exactly. So in conclusion, consistency, resilience, and determination are essential qualities that enable you to navigate life's challenges and achieve enduring success. Are you fueled by motivation and forged by discipline? Or are you only motivated to take action when the mood strikes, when you feel passion, or when you find yourself leadless or listingless? So I challenge you, if that's where you are right now, make the decision to not be leadless or listingless. Get into action. Get involved in coaching where you're surrounded by coaches that believe in you and your success, and you've got other coaching members that are around you doing the things that you have to do and sharing those experiences. You know, we share challenges and victories on all of the daily semi-private coaching sessions. What was the biggest challenge? This is what I came across. This is what I did. And here's the victory I got as a result. That's what you want to surround yourself with, not, you know, at the top of this podcast, we talked about breaking up with media, right? Why do you put that into your head? Instead, be around people who are just like you, who are caring and compassionate and understand all of these points and are not just saying, hey, that was a great podcast, I really appreciate those points, but they're actually living it.
And a lot of this has to do with, essentially paring back on what we talked about media free, but you're also going to want to pare back on probably, you know, cut out some of the people in your life that aren't reinforcing the person that you want to be. You're going to have to start pruning, cutting off the dead branches and the things that aren't working anymore, and make your act. This sounds counterintuitive, but it's true. Make your world so you're focusing on fewer things. Because, you know, Julie and I listen to a lot of biographies, occasionally autobiographies. We listen to podcasts about biographies. And what we do is we focus on the commonalities amongst all these, really the most successful people in the history of humanity, right? And you will find, without a doubt, Elon Musk probably being the only exception I can think of off the top of my head. They really were only focused on maybe three things ever.
That's definitely true.
And they became really, really good at those three things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's only one thing.
Yes.
You know, and that's the way to be, clearly. You know, it goes back to what I said yesterday. You know, smart man or woman learns from their mistakes. The brilliant one learns from the mistakes of others. Well, maybe one of the mistakes that some of you are making is you're focusing on too many things. You're trying to believe that you can only be successful if you follow your passion. You're trying to believe that your real estate business in your life have to be a bunch of, you know, steps and procedures and systems and click funnels and marketing and branding. Why are you making things so damn complicated? This is the most simple, brilliant business ever. You know, it is. Especially because the best leads are the ones that are actually free.
And probably right in front of you.
Yeah, right.
Some of you are going to go to, say, Orange Theory this afternoon and have the light bulb go off that, hey, instead of just slapping on my headset and being on the treadmill, maybe I ought to use that Ford script and talk about real estate a little bit. Maybe there are some people who want to transact right under my nose. I guarantee you that's true.
And isn't that interesting? I mean, Julie and I have to go out and swing now with stupid-ass kettlebells, okay?
We could drag this podcast out longer,
we don't have to do it. That's what we're doing. We're procrastinating, aren't
we? Exactly.
But here's the thing that's magical that happens. When, like, for example, Orange Theory is an hour. And I remember because when Julie and I lived in Austin, we used to go every day. Ugh. Anyway.
The longest hour.
Exactly. But you hated doing it for like the first 15 or 20 minutes. And then what happened is because you were in inaction, making your body do what it didn't want to do, your emotional state changed. Yes, it had to do with endorphins. Yes, it had to do with the environment. Yes, it had to do with raising your heart rate and all the rest of it. But really what is you feeling successful because you saw yourself doing what you didn't want to do when you didn't want to do it at the highest level. And that was something that was an exhilarating feeling that you wanted more of. Thus, you go back. You get addicted to it. And that becomes your new, you know, long-term lifestyle. And that's the way it works.
You know what's funny about that, dragging it out longer, is that, and I know that you would agree with this because you've observed it too. When we have had, we're an example of this, but with coaching clients, when you have a coaching client that does have discipline, say going to Orange Theory or CrossFit or any number of, you know, that type of disciplined workout, don't you find nearly across the board that because they have that discipline there, they're also far more disciplined about other things in their lives?
You know, it is an interesting observation. I also say that has to do, money has the same thing. If they're disciplined with money. But I'll tell you where there is a fallacy.
What's
or
that?
Falling down.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen a lot of men in particular who will use personal things as an excuse not to be successful financially or not be successful physically.
Sure.
So I've seen a lot of men who are not being good financial providers for their family who will rationalize, well, it's because I go to every single this and every single that. I go to all the soccer games, all the t-ball games, all the rest of it. So they're actually, I've had a lot of coaching clients that are heavily involved in volunteer activities or their church.
Sure.
Or, you know, I'm the kids' softball team. They do all these other things. And what that does is that's their excuse not to actually have to do what they don't want to do when they don't want to do it at the highest level.
Yeah.
And society reinforces it. Well, you're a good dad, but you're, you know, not financially secure.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, well, you're a good dad because you're going to all these things, but you're, you know, 100 pounds overweight.
Right.
You know, it is fascinating. You're right. If someone is physically, generally speaking, now I'm not saying somebody that's a big muscled up, you know,
no, but just
up,
some level of discipline of taking after themselves.
And some level of discipline taking other finances.
Yes.
Generally speaking,
it
that carries over.
Hand.
But if they're over and that whole, like, you know, I've had coaching clients like that. Well, why didn't you have any listings?
Well, but see, here's a, I would, if you will allow me to counter mm-hmm. that a little bit, I would contend that they are probably trying to have, quote, balance on that side without balancing the financial part.
Right.
And that somewhere, maybe subconsciously, they're believing that it's an either or situation, when in fact being a good financial provider for themselves and their family is actually putting something in the bank on the family side as well.
For sure.
And just because you're working on that does not automatically mean that you suck as a parent because you miss some things now and then. I struggle with that sometimes. I have a pretty thick schedule as well. And so you can do both. But again, it gets back to the topic of our podcast, discipline, which applies to everything potentially in your life. I like to go to, and you like to go to, a lot of Zoe's events. That doesn't mean we have to go to 100% of them or we're terrible parents. I think there's some advantage to not being at all of them. She really likes it when we do go, right?
Well,
but
so,
there's some kind of balance to that.
Well, be careful.
Even though I don't like that word.
Right, exactly. That's what I was about to ask you.
But all I'm saying is that it doesn't have to be either or.
Right, but the word balance in itself is another one of these.
It's like passion.
Right. It's like passion. It's another one of these black holes. I'm seeking balance. Now, right now, I promise you, somebody's listening. They're getting super pissed that we're saying this.
You're typing away like the cat at the keyboard.
Exactly. Balance is a myth. And the very act of trying to be in balance is going to cause you to be out of balance. Mm-hmm. So at different points in your life, you're going to be focusing on different things. So for example, a lot of people, as they get older, like when you're in your 20s and your 30s, assuming you were not born with a silver spoon, and you have a family, if you're focused too much on, say, for example, even physical, mm-hmm. and you're not focusing on financial, you're being kind of a crappy parent, aren't
yeah.
you? I mean, that's just a fact. Or if you're, for example, too focused on financial and you're not spending any time with your family, the same thing can be true. But it is fascinating that society has a tendency to put a lot less value on earning money mm-hmm. and being a good financial provider than it really should. Because ultimately,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be the thing that gives your family the greatest sense of security. Because if there's no, yeah. having grown up in a family with virtually no financial security, I assure you that I could have put up with a lot less free time with my dad and had him earn a lot more money so we could have had a lot better financial security. And I wouldn't
sure.
have had to wake up sometimes and realize that they didn't pay the water bill or the electric was shut off because they didn't pay the electric bill, or come home from school and see a foreclosure tag on our door and shit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all experiences I wish I wouldn't have had that were because, you know, he wasn't, you know, earning what he should have been earning. Okay. So if you want to know how to really, move yourself into a realm of having some stability in your life, you got to be real. I mean, what are you avoiding doing? And if you're finding yourself, well, I'm going to go to every volunteer activity, I'm going to do every soccer game, I'm going to do everything. Well, is that really what your family needs? Go out and take some more listings. Create some financial abundance for your family. You know, don't feel bad about the fact that you are a provider. You have responsibilities. Let me just give you a good example. We will get, and this happens frequently, mm-hmm. a message from an agent or someone who wants to get full-time into real estate.
Yes.
I'm a full-time school teacher. I got one of these recently. Mm-hmm. And I've got three kids, and this is from a man, mm-hmm. science teacher, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And so, I asked him, so, you know, does your wife work? You know, are you married? Does your wife work? You know, do your partner work? And the answer was no. Okay. So you have three kids. What's the oldest? 15. I remember some of this. And so what kind of money do you have saved? Like, I have this much money saved, right? So, you know, all these financial questions. So this person basically had 90 days worth of personal savings, did not have any debt other than a mortgage and like a car payment on something. That was the extent of it. How much money do you have to earn per month in this market where they live? Like $12,000 a month with taxes and all the rest of it. All right. So no, I said, you cannot become a full-time agent. You do not have enough money. You should be a part-time agent because you've already made your commitments. You made a commitment to be a provider for your wife. You made a commitment to be a provider for those three kids and your dog. So you have to make sure you provide for them. You have to keep your job. You have to keep that stable income. It was like $130,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So they have financial security. That is your first obligation.
Yeah,
that
90
is your
days of reserves is not enough.
No, that's what you're going to be the most proud of having actually done. And yes, that means you're not going to be able to spend time pursuing your, you know, your lifelong mission of being an entrepreneur. And sorry, you've already placed your bets. You've got a family. You've got financial obligations because you have an itch to scratch. Does not mean it should be at the cost of giving your family a sense of security. If you want to know how to screw up a family, make them feel financially insecure. 100% of the time, that will give you the worst outcome possible. I hope you understand where we're coming from on this podcast, guys. I hope you're very clear about what we're saying too. You can still get into real estate. Some of the most successful agents we've had in Premier Coaching are part-time agents. They don't screw around. They know they have a limited amount of time to be successful in real estate, maybe one day or 2 days of the week. So they, you know, they don't spend a lot of time on marketing and advertising. They're actually going to go out and transact.
Well, that's right. And so just to be clear, we are not saying that if that's your goal to get away from your job and transition to full-time real estate, we're not saying that you should let go of that goal. What we're saying is you have to be financially responsible and accountable to the obligations you already have. And huge blessing, note to self, let's take your emailer, for example. Let's say that they wanted to have an additional 90 days, getting their savings up to 6 months. Well, that's approximately 3 transactions, which you could do, even if it took you a year to do that as a part-timer. You sock that money away. Maybe you do a couple of extra deals. You move towards that. You have a specific goal of doing X so you can do Y. Well, and we have done podcasts about that very topic. I think you use that as an example of just being financially accountable and not getting all screwed up about this balance and passion thing.
You have to earn your right to quit your job is really where it leads, which what Julie's saying. So, for example, back to this person that messaged me, that's where I left it. You have to actually prove the fact that you can be a competent full-time agent by being a competent part-time agent first. You have to have listed this many of homes, earned this much of money, saved this amount of money. You have to prove that you can provide financial stability for your family because they are your number one job. Taking care of your already committed commitments is your number one job. That means you will have to curb what you want to do because you're not the most important thing. The commitments you've made to other people is the most important thing. That's how you lead a life that results in you being essentially having, been a good human.
Yeah, exactly. So, and on that note, get to work, whether that's you or whether you already are in real estate full time. Today's podcast has been about your mindset. It's been about discipline. It's been about commitment. So ask yourself, what are you doing today, this week, the rest of this month to move yourself towards those goals? And are you being dependent on how you feel? Or are you being dependent on the actions it takes to get you to those goals?
And right at the first, next natural step, join Premier Coaching. It's free for the first 30 days. Download the Real Estate Treasure Map. It's your fill in the blank business and life plan. Complete that. And that will give you, following up on what we just said, that will give you a clear path forward, broken down into numbers and exact plans of what you have to do. And that's true for all of you, whether you're not your full-time. Now, I'll tell you something else too. I'll just end today's show with this one last thing. There is a time in your life where you should be taking a lot of risk, and that's when you're in your 20s. When you're young, you should be taking risk. When you're young, Julie and I sold 100 houses our first year in the business when we were in our early 20s. The older you get, the more financial obligations you have, the more you have to really be considering where you're going to have the most impact, where you're going to, be the most proud of yourself long term, and then you backfill it with the skills. And if you want to know really, ask yourself really where you want to be in, say, 20 or 30 or 40 years, find somebody that you can role model yourself after, listen to biographies and look to see what those people did. I was listening to something that the Tao of Charlie Munger. Mm-hmm. He was an investor at the same time he was running a law office.
I didn't know that.
Yep. That's so there's lots of things like that. Don't just think it's either or. Don't think you have to follow your passion. Realize that we are in a magical state in essentially humanity. I know everyone's going to tell you something opposite. That's the downfall of America. It's all these doom and gloom crap. None of that's true. Nope. You are in the right place at the right time. Now it's really up to you to take the right actions. Don't let anything stand in the way of your potential of, essentially becoming the best version of yourself as a real estate practitioner. Hopefully all this made sense to all of you guys. Hopefully you have the motivation that you need to get into action. Let us know your thoughts. Thank you for keeping this number one listen to daily podcast for real estate professionals in at least the United States. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.